Yo, what is up, True Crime Murderinos? Welcome to another episode of Murderpod, True Crime Set. So, in an attempt to release episodes a little more frequently, I've decided that I'm going to plug in a couple of mini episodes between, you know, some of the more in-depth episodes that I create that have, like, you know, the crime and then the psych, and that are usually two parts. I'm going to do some of these mini episodes that are probably going to be more focused on current event true crime cases. And then half of that mini episode is going to actually be some creepypasta storytelling. Once upon a time, I had this, you know, amazing idea that I was going to create this OnlyFans account where I just, you know, do some storytelling, and every episode I just continue the story. And it was going to be called Storytime with Rachel K. I had like a whole, you know, website and like backgrounds and music, all that was planned, you know, but it just never happened. So then I realized, like, this is the perfect platform to make something like this happen, right? So in the spirit of making dreams come true, I'm going to do Storytime with Rachel K. So these mini episodes are going to be, you know, partially a current event true crime episode. And then the second half, we're going to do story time. And so I'm finding some really good classic creepypasta stories, and I'll start telling them. Some of them might be done in one episode. A lot of them will probably, you know, I'll do a portion of the story. And then if you want to hear the rest, just log on, you know, come in for next episode, and we'll just continue. We'll go down the road with the story until it finishes. Most of them are going to be like done within like an episode or maybe two. But yeah, so today we got a really crazy ass true crime story coming from LA. Pretty interesting. So I hope you enjoy today's episode. As usual, sit back, relax, get ready for some groovy beats. And let's discuss this crazy ass true crime story from LA and get ready for a story time with Rachel K. Today we're talking about this case that just came out of LA. It's pretty current, and it has to do with this. He's like a celebrity, you know, rich kid, family of like a bunch of producers and agents and all that kind of thing. Sam Haskell. So he's the son of a Hollywood agent, son of an Emmy winning producer, actually. And his dad's clients included Dolly Parton, Whoopi Goldberg, Kathy Lee Gifford, even George Clooney. All right. So this is the circles that this guy was running in. Okay. And so the son, Sam Haskell, who's 35 years old, he's facing charges for the murder of his wife, May Lee Haskell, and her two parents. So his mother and father-in-law. May Lee Haskell, we have found some evidence to prove that, yeah, she's, you know, deceased. We're not even going to say most likely she is deceased. Mother and father-in-law, we can't find them. and mother and father-in-law live with them. So, you know, they would be here. They're not answering their phones. They're not answering emails. They're just not where they're supposed to be. And, you know, if their daughter is missing for this long and all this is in the news, it's kind of seeming like something happened to them as well. All right. Okay. This story is absolutely ridiculous for various reasons. And apparently this dude also had a TikTok page. Okay. And I'm going to play a couple of his TikToks a little bit later in the episode. And honestly, this is really just for you guys to be able to gauge on your own what level of douchebag this dude is. Because I can only describe so much, but you know, I feel like if you hear it on your own, that'll be enough. All right. So I got like three clips here. And I don't know if he's trying to be funny or if he's, I think he's trying to be funny. And I don't even know, because I'm 35 too. And I feel like I'm fairly youthful and I kind of know what you use, like what humor is in today's world. But I just don't know. Like he seems out of touch in some way. But I mean, clearly he's out of touch in several ways, right? With when you consider everything else that he's done. So I'll play those a little bit later for you guys to kind of like decide for yourself. All right. All right. So he's a 35-year-old LA celebrity rich kid. And his dad is actually the former executive vice president of the William Morris Agency. And currently his dad is the head of Magnolia Hill Productions. And this is the company that makes all the Dolly Parton specials. Okay. So Sam Haskell Jr., the one who is being accused of this crime, he was arrested just this past Monday and he's booked on the suspicion of murder. His wife's torso was found in a garbage dump in a strip mall in Encino, California. So far, he's been denied bail. So he's sitting there. We're trying to figure out what's going on. This is new. This is very current. Okay. So like, I can't say he's guilty, but it's looking pretty bad. So let's start off with a little bit about this dude. Okay. So unfortunately, the Hollywood Entertainment talent gene skipped him. And, you know, you guys can confirm this in a couple minutes when you listen to those TikTok videos. And they're kind of like awkwardly hilarious. You know, I can't lie, and I'm going to preface with the fact that this guy's like 35 to 40 years old, somewhere in that range, and he just sounds like a complete idiot. Like, when I first listened to them, I thought, oh, this is like a kid. He's like 19. He's being silly. But when I found out that he's like approaching 40, I was like, whoa, what the fuck is this? It was weird, okay? So let's just plug in a couple of his TikTok recordings really quick, and you guys... You guys decide for yourself, you know? What do you think about this dude?
I just want to say shouts out real quick to Bamboo over in Omote Sando, Jingu Maya area. Thank you guys so much for the amazing lunch. Such a chill, classic vibe. Peace 100. Gia.
Okay, yeah. Peace 100. That is recording number one. He gives a couple shout outs to like restaurants and people and just like things he's doing, because I guess he thinks that we all care where he is and he needs to shout it out, because you know his shout out is like what's important. He's giving the place props, I guess. Yeah. All right, let's go on to number two.
Yo, shout out to Christina for wearing that rose gold. Girl, yes.
Yeah, I hate this guy. I can't say anything else. All right. Let's just get to number three now, because I have nothing to say.
Yo, real quick. What's good? Like, what's up with
Brad Pitt trying to like come for Paul Wesley's wife, like, even though they broke up, but still, like, I don't even know. Like, let me know in the comments. Peace.
All right. Okay. So I don't even feel like I need to say anything. I listened to them originally on another podcast that I love, Last Podcast on the Left. And I need to say it was fucking hilarious, everything that they had to say about it. Like, it really is. Like, I don't know if this dude is trying to be funny. I don't know if he's just an idiot and he's, you know, like, just has no ability to connect with. I mean, I just can't imagine that he's being serious about anything he's saying, right? So what's worse is, you know, maybe he's possibly trying to be funny and it's just awkward as hell. You know, I think like even without him committing this crime, like if this was just like a random TikTok that I came across, I would be like, dude, this guy is hella fucking awkward. Maybe that's what would make it funny. But the thing is, I don't think he's intentionally doing that. If you look at photos of this dude, I feel like you'll agree. Like for a moment, I was thinking, okay, maybe this guy is intentionally trying to be that awkward, funny dude. But when you look at his photos, no, I just think he's a complete rich kid douchebag that never had to do anything for himself. And yeah, I think he thinks he's being funny. Haskell is scheduled to be formally charged December 8th. And let's get into a little bit of the crime here. A lot of this story just doesn't make any sense to me. It's so ridiculous. But then when I think about the person committing it, it kind of makes sense. It seems like this really, you know, privileged elitist kid who felt like he could get away with anything. Okay, so apparently the day of, or around the day of the incident, Haskell, he literally hired a few day laborers and he asked them to move some heavy bags and take them to the dump for him. Okay? Like, he literally just gave them the bags that contained dismembered body parts. All right? And he was like, yeah, can you take this out for me? I mean, it's another level of privileged douchebag where, like, you're probably even assuming that, yeah, they're going to look at it, but what are they going to do? Right? They're going to like, I'm giving it to them. I'm boss. Okay. And so, you know, you're used to having others clean up after you. You literally just hire day laborers to dump body parts for you. And you're not even thinking twice. So I think apparently he offered like each person $500 or something. And he was like, yeah, can you just like take these to the dump for me? Okay. So obviously they looked inside these heavy leaking bags, you know, leaking some random red liquid and heavy as hell, they're going to look inside these bags to see what it is. Needless to say, the day laborers, they go back, they return the money to Haskell. They're not feeling okay with this. And then they go to PD and they report what they saw inside the bags. They open up the bags and they're like, yo, these are body parts in here. The same day, neighbors also report that, you know, they had seen Haskell taking a large trash bag into the dumpster in the neighborhood, and they actually took photographs of this. So again, more evidence. I mean, there's nothing inconspicuous about this crime here. Within a few days, another person actually comes upon the bags that were taken to the dumpster, and then this is another piece of evidence that ends up getting reported to PD. So apparently ID of the body is technically still pending, but LAPD is pretty confident that this is Maylee Haskell. wife of, you know, Sam Haskell. And so the parents of Maylee are still missing. And like I said, you know, they lived with them. And so for them not to come forward during this time when this is all over the news, they're not answering phone calls, they're not answering emails, it's kind of leading towards us, you know, towards PD thinking that something happened to them, you know, foul play came upon them as well. LAPD has been interviewing witnesses and neighbors as much as they can. And apparently there's a neighbor here, Ella Benami. And so she mentions that she saw Maylee a few days before the incident. And so Benami's kids actually would play with the Haskell's kids. This is like a family that lives like right next door. And the kids would play together. And she mentions that she took her kids to school just a few days before the incident. And she noticed that Maylee looked a little bit distressed. And a quote from her here says, "It struck me that she looked very different than normal. She looked really somber and sad and upset about something." So I'm not sure if this alludes to, you know, possibly a history of domestic violence. But, you know, honestly, if you're murdered by your partner, a lot of times there is a history building up to that actual incident. You know, there's some domestic violence happening in the home. And so we could have been like, that could have been that peak that Benami was seeing. You know, something was going on at home. Things were getting bad. And, you know, she saw a piece of that. You know, she saw a moment in time where this is like right before it's going to get that bad, which is really scary to think of. You know, it's just scary. It's just a reminder that you don't know what anyone's going through. We don't know what anyone is experiencing in their home life. Here, this is like, quote unquote, I'm going to say rich and happy people of the world, you know, dropping off their kids to school and living in suburbia and quote unquote, not having too many problems. And clearly having some serious problems living with a psychopath, right? And I'm very sure that probably if Benami feels like she looks really somber and sad and then she's murdered 2 days later, I bet it had something to do with that. I bet the two were connected. All right, so Benami also mentions that Maylee suddenly missed a neighborhood dinner and stopped responding to texts. Benami also, she wasn't home on November 7th, which is the suspected day of the incident, but her husband was, and he mentions that he noticed a terrible odor that resembled rotting flesh. Okay. And the next mornings, the other neighbors actually approach Benami to say that something is wrong. And so this reminds me of my best friend back in Florida. He lives in suburbia, more suburbia compared to where I live. And he's married with kids and he hangs out with other people who are married with kids. And we always talk about how it's a small community. You know, you take your kids to the same schools, you go to the same supermarkets. You end up also going to the same little dinner parties. You know, you guys kind of get your relief from home life for a bit by going to dinner parties together. And so when something's off, when something is different in someone's schedule, you guys notice. And a lot of times it could be considered like, oh, nosy neighbors, but it could also be what's, you know, reporting things and keeping you guys safe. Like, don't forget, your neighbors are noticing what's going on, especially when you're living in suburbia and you have kids and you're doing things together. And this is clearly a reflection of that type of community where, you know, immediately the very next day, they were able to say, like, something's wrong. I think it's coming from that house. Okay. So like I said, this is a very new story. I feel like it's pretty clear who is guilty, but innocent until proven guilty, right? For now, all I can say is that we do have the torso of Maylee Haskell in evidence, and it's been found. So we know that she's been murdered, and her parents are missing. We don't know where they are, and we have a douchebag TikToker that might be to blame.